The American School of the Air takes pleasure in presenting the most celebrated love story of all literature, the tragedy of Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare. In this special radio adaptation of Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare, the American School of the Air presents two of the most famous lovers and some of the most beautiful lines in the scroll of English literature. The scene is laid in the ancient city of Verona, where two of its noblest houses, the Montagues and the Capulets, have for generations been nursing a family feud. As the curtain rises, we find young Benvolio of the House of Montague and young Tybalt of the House of Capulet and their servants fighting on the streets of Verona. Old Montague and Capulet themselves, attracted by the clamor of the fray, attempt to join the fight when Aeschylus, Prince of Verona, rides up with a guard and disperses them. Aeschylus, enraged by this fresh outburst, threatens that if any of either family shall ever again disturb the peace, that man shall die. The crowd breaks up and goes its separate ways. Romeo plans with Benvolio to become an uninvited guest at a masquerade ball given at the House of Capulet. It is the night of the ball. The festive board has been cleared for dancing, and the hundreds of torches illuminating the great hall flicker like burning diamonds to the music pulsing on the air. Romeo, masked, comes upon Juliet and speaks to her.
If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, the gentle fine is this. My lips, two blushing pilgrims, ready stand to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss.
Good pilgrim, you do wrong your hand too much, which mannerly devotion shows in this. For saints have hands that pilgrims' hands do touch, and palm to palm is holy palmer's kiss.
Have not saints lips and holy palmers too?
Aye, pilgrim, lips that they must use in prayer.
Ah, then, dear saint, let lips do what hands do. They pray. Grant thou, lest faith turn to despair.
Saints do not move, though grant for prayer's sake.
Then move not, while my prayer's effect I take. Thus from my lips, by yours, my sin is purged.
Then have my lips the sin that they have took.
Sin from my lips? Oh, trespass sweetly urged. Give me my sin again.
You kiss by the book.
Let me, your mother, please a word with you.
I must away, sir. Rest you, Mary.
What is a mother?
Mary, bachelor. My mother is a lady of the house, and a good lady, and a wise and virtuous. I nursed her daughter that you talked with all.
Is she a Capulet? Oh, dear, a count. My life is my foe's debt.
Romeo, away, be gone. It's falleth at the best.
Come hither, nurse. What is yon gentleman, he that would not dance?
I know not.
Go, ask his name. If he be married, my grave is like to be my wedding bed.
Juliet, his name is Romeo, and a Montague, the only son of your great enemy.
My only love, sprung from my only hate.
Thus did Romeo and Juliet consummate their first interview by falling madly in love with each other. And though between their love there rose the spiked wall of family hatred, Romeo promptly set about to destroy that barrier. And thus brooding, he kept to himself, avoiding his two best friends, Benvolio and the hot-headed gay Mercutio. As the scene opens, Romeo, seeking a glimpse of Juliet, has climbed a wall enclosing the orchard of Capulet, and now steals toward the house and Juliet's balcony, silvered by moonlight. Abruptly he halts, for there at her window stands Juliet.
Soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. The brightness of her cheek would shame the stars, as daylight doth a lamp. Her eyes in heaven Into the airy region streams so bright that birds would sing and think it were not night. See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek. She speaks. Oh, speak again, bright angel. For thou art as glorious to this night being o'er my head as the winged messenger of heaven.
Oh, Romeo. Romeo. Wherefore art thou Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Or if thou wilt not, be but sworn my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet. 'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. O Romeo, doff thy name, and for that name which is no part of thee, take all myself.
I take thee at thy word. Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized. Henceforth I never will be Romeo.
What man art thou that thus discreened a knight so stumbleth on my counsel?
By a name. I know not how to tell thee who I am. My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself because it is an enemy to thee.
Mine ears have not yet drunk 100 words of that tongue's utterance, yet I know the sound. Art thou not Romeo and a Montague?
Neither, fair saint, if either thee dislike.
How camest thou hither? Tell me, and wherefore? By whose direction foundst thou out this place?
By love, who first did prompt me to inquire. He lent me counsel, and I lent him eyes. I am no pilot. Yet what thou, as far as that vast shore washed with a farthest sea, I would adventure for such merchandise.
Thou knowest the mask of night is on my face. Else would a maiden blush for paint my cheek for that which thou hast heard me speak tonight. Dost thou love me? I know thou wilt say aye. And I will take thy word. Yet if thou swearest, thou mayst prove false that lovers' perjuries, they say, Jove loves. O gentle Romeo, if thou dost love, pronounce it faithfully. Or if thou think'st I am too quickly won, I'll frown and be perverse and bid thee nay, so thou wilt woo. Else, not for the world. In truth, fair Montague, I am too fond. And therefore thou mayst think my behavior light, but trust me, gentlemen, I'll prove more true than those that have more cunning to be strange. I should have been more strange, I must confess, but that thou overheardst ere I was ware my true love's passion. Therefore pardon me, and not impute this yielding to light, lover, which the dark night hath so discovered.
Lady, by yonder blessed moon, I swear, the tips with silver all these fruit tree tops.
Oh, swear not by the moon. The inconstant moon that monthly changes in her circled orb, lest that thy love prove likewise variable.
What shall I swear by?
Do not swear at all. For if thou wilt, swear by thy gracious self, which is the god of my idolatry, and I'll believe.
If my heart, dear love...
Do not swear. Although I joy in thee, I have no joy in this contract tonight. It is too rash, too unadvised, too sudden. Sweet. Good night. Good night.
Juliet!
Anon, good night. Sweet Montague, be true. Stay but a little, and I'll come again.
Oh, blessed night. I'm a fear being a knight. All this is but a dream. Too flattering. Sweet to be substantial.
We will, dear Romeo, and good night indeed. If that thy bent of love be honorable, thy purpose, marriage. Send me word tomorrow by one that I'll procure to come to thee, where and what time they will perform the rite, and all my fortunes at thy foot I lay, and follow thee, my lord, throughout the world.
Madam!
I come anon, but if thou meanest not well, I do beseech
thee. Madam!
By and by I come to cease thy suit, and leave me to my grief. Tomorrow will I send. 1,000 times. Good night.
1,000 times the words toward thy light.
Romeo.
My dear.
I have forgot why I did call thee back.
Let me stand here till thou remember it.
I shall forget to have thee still stand there, remembering how I love thy company.
And I'll still stay to have thee still forget, forgetting any other home but this.
It is almost morning. I would have thee gone, and yet no further than a wanton bird who lets it hop a little from her hand, so loving, jealous of his liberty.
I would thy bird.
Sweet, so would I. Yet I should kill thee with much cherishing. Good night. Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow.
And so Romeo fled with the sinking moon to seek the cell of his spiritual father, Friar Lawrence, and in him confided his love of Capulet's lovely daughter, and arranged for the good friar to wed them on the morrow. And on the morrow did Friar Lawrence join in secret wedlock the son of Montague and the daughter of Capulet, Romeo and Juliet. While on the streets of Verona, hot-headed young Tybalt, Juliet's vengeful cousin, still smarting over Romeo's daring to appear in Capulet's house, sought Romeo everywhere. As the third act of Shakespeare's immortal drama opens, we find Tybalt inquiring of Benvolio and Mercutio Romeo's whereabouts. Suddenly, Romeo appears on the scene, and Tybalt turns from Romeo's friends to Romeo himself.
Romeo, the hate I bear thee can afford no better term than this. Thou art a villain.
Tybalt, the reason I have to love thee doth much excuse the appertaining rage to such a greeting. Villain am I none. Therefore, farewell, I see thou knowest me not.
Boy, this shall not excuse the injuries that thou hast done me. Therefore, turn and draw.
I do protest I never injured thee, but love thee better than thou canst devise, till thou shalt know the reason of my love. And so, good Capulet, which name I tender as dearly as my own, be satisfied.
Oh, calm, dishonorable, vile submission. Tybalt, you rat catcher. Will you walk?
What wouldst thou have with me?
Good king of cats, nothing but one of your nine lives.
I'm for you.
Gentle Mercutio, put thy rapier up.
Hurry, your papyrus.
Draw, Benvolio. I'll have beat down their weapons. Gentlemen, for shame. Forbear this outrage. Tybalt.
Mercutio.
The prince expressly has forbidden banding in Verona street. Oh, Tybalt, good Mercutio.
A plague of both your houses! I'm spared. Is he gone and hath nothing? Where's the page? Go, villain. Fetch a surgeon.
Courage, man. The hurt cannot be much.
No. Oh, it is not so deep as a well, nor so wide as a church door, but it is enough. To serve. Ask for me tomorrow, and you shall find me a grave man. I'm peppered out one for this world. A plague of both your houses.
Old man.
Downs, a dog, a rat, a mouse, a cat, a scratcher man to death, a braggart rogue, and a villain.
And Mercutio.
Why the devil came you between us? I was hurt on your arm.
I thought all for the best.
Help me into some house, Benvolio. I shall faint. A plague of both your houses. They've made worms meat of me. I had it. And some, too. Your house.
Tybalt, that an hour hath been my kinsman. Oh, sweet Juliet, thy beauty hath made me effeminate, and in my temper softened valor steel.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, pray Mercutio dead.
This day's black fate on more days doth depend. This but begins the woe, others must end.
Oh, here comes the furious Tybalt back again.
Alive, in triumph, and Mercutio slain. Now, Tybalt, Mercutio's soul is but a little way above our heads. Staying for thine to keep him company.
Now, wretched boy that did first consort him here, shalt with him hence. This shall determine that.
Keep down your sword. Tybalt's slain!
Oh, Romeo, away, begone! The citizens are up on Tybalt's slain. Stand not amazed. The prince will doom thee to death if thou art taken. Hence, begone, away!
Ah, unfortunate fool!
Was he in truth, this son of Montague? For now was he banished by the Prince of Verona from the city on pain of death, banished from his dear love and bride, Juliet. Romeo found temporary refuge in the cell of his confessor, Friar Lawrence, where, stricken by grief, he feared Juliet's love has turned to hate by his killing of her cousin, Tybalt. But Juliet, after the first shock of grief, sent her nurse to Romeo's hiding place, bidding him come to her that night at their rendezvous in her chamber, ere he leaves for Mantua and exile. He speeds to her side, and the happy hours swiftly pass.
Fearful hollow of thine ear. Nightly she sings on yon pomegranate tree. Believe me, love, it was the nightingale.
It was the lark, the herald of the morn, no nightingale. Look, love, what envious streaks do lace the severing clouds in yonder east. Night's candles are burnt out, and jocund day stands tiptoe. The misty mountaintop. I must be gone and live, or stay and die.
Madam, yes, your beauty brother is coming to your chamber. The day is broke. Be wary. Look about.
Then you know. Let day in, and let life out.
Farewell. Farewell. One kiss, and I'll descend.
Art thou gone so? My lord, my love, my friend. Oh, thinkst thou we shall ever meet again? Oh, God, I have an ill divining soul. Methinkst I see thee now, the rock below is one dead in the bottom of a tomb. Either my eyesight fails or thou lookst pale.
And trust me, love, in my eyes so do you. Adieu.
Peggy.
Hold your breath. Are you all?
Come now, Juliet. Evermore weeping for your cousin's death? I'll tell these joyful tidings, girl.
Joy comes well in such a needy time. What are they, I beseech your ladyship?
Marry, my child, early next Thursday morn, the gallant, young, and noble gentleman, the Count of Paris, at St. Peter's Church, shall happily make thee there a joyful bride.
Now, by St. Peter's Church and Peter too, he shall not make me there a joyful bride. I wonder at the taste that I must wed a he that should be husband comes to woo. I pray you tell my lord and father, madam, I will not marry it.
Here comes your father. Tell him so yourself and see how he will take it at your hands.
Oh, no, wife. Have you delivered to her our decree?
Aye, sir, but she will none. She gives you thanks. I wish the fool were married to her grave.
Oh, no. What is this? Thank me, no thanking. But settle your fine joints against Thursday next to go with Paris to the Peter's Church, or I will drag thee on a hurdle thither.
Good father, I beseech you on my knees. Hear me with patience, but to speak a word.
Hang thee, young baggage, disobedient wretch. I tell thee what. Get thee to church on Thursday, or never ask to look on me again.
And thus was Juliet reviled by her parents and threatened with disinheritance if she should refuse the hand of the noble Paris. When they had gone, her old nurse counseled that as Romeo was banished for life, what harm in marrying Paris? Sir Juliet, bitterly rejecting this cynic counsel, said to the cell of Friar Lawrence for a solution to her unhappy dilemma.
Friar Lawrence, oh, shut the door. When thou hast done so, come weep with me, past hope, past cure, past help.
Ah, Juliet, I already know thy grief. It pains me past the compass of my wit. I hear thou must on Thursday next be married to County Paris.
Tell me not, Friar, how that thou hearest of this, unless thou tell me how I may prevent. Be not so long to speak. I long to die if what thou speak not of remedy.
Old daughter, I do spy a kind of hope, which craves as desperate an execution as that is desperate which we would prevent. And if thou durst, I'll give thee remedy.
Oh, bid me leap, rather than marry Paris from off the battlements of yonder tower.
Hold then, tomorrow, let not my nurse lie with thee in thy chamber. Take thou this vial. Being then in bed, this distilled liquor drink thou off, when presently through all thy veins shall run a cold and drowsy humor. For no pulse shall keep his native progress but surcease. No warmth, no breath shall testify thou livest. And in this borrowed likeness of shrunk death, thou shalt continue 42 hours, and then awake as from a pleasant sleep. Thou shalt be borne to that same ancient vault where all the kindred of the Capulets lie. In the meantime, shall Romeo by my letters know our drift, and hither shall he come.
Give me.
Hold, get you gone. Be strong and prosperous in this resolve.
Love, give me strength, and strength shall help us all. Farewell, dear father.
And so was the brother friar sped by Friar Lawrence to nearby Mantua to acquaint Romeo of his scheme, while Juliet returned to her parents with a smiling face, gave consent to their desires, and bade them speed the wedding feast. But on the wedding eve, ere she laid herself to sleep, she drank the potion given her by Friar Lawrence and fell into that death-like trance the good friar had described. And thus was her wedding day changed to one of mourning, and a day of rejoicing changed to one of sorrow for the house of Capulet. From Verona to Mantua, Romeo's servant brought news of Juliet's apparent death, news that struck Romeo like a burning brand to the very soul. For through a misadventure, Friar Lawrence's messenger had not reached him. Romeo buys poison and hastens in desperation to the Capulet tomb in Verona. But at that self-same moment in the docked and night-cloaked churchyard, both Paris and Romeo are creeping toward Juliet's tomb. Paris to strew her grave with flowers and tears. Romeo to take one last look at her and die beside her. Paris hears Romeo approaching and crouches, watching, while Romeo halts beside the tomb and snatches some tools from his accompanying servant.
Give me that mattock and the wrenching iron. Give me some light. Upon thy life I charge thee. But ere thou hearest or seest, stand all aloof, and do not interrupt me at my course. Therefore, hence, be gone.
I will be gone, sir, and let me not trouble you.
Thou detestable maw, thou womb of death, gorged with the dearest morsel of the earth.
Thus I enforce thy rotten jaws to open, and in despite I'll cram thee with more food.
Why on colored toil, vile multitude? Can vengeance be pursued further than death? Condemned villain, I do apprehend thee. Obey and go with me, for thou must die.
I must indeed, and therefore came I hither. Good gentle youth, tempt not a desperate man.
I do defy thy conjuration, and apprehend thee for a felon here.
Wilt thou provoke me? Then have at thee, boy.
I'm slain. If thou be merciful, open the tomb. Lay me with Juliet.
Let me peruse this face. The noble Count of Paris. Oh, give me thy hand. I'll bury thee in a triumphant grave. Here lies Juliet, and her beauty makes this vault a feasting present full of life. Oh, my love, my wife! Death, that hath sucked the honey of thy breath, hath had no power yet upon thy beauty. Oh, here will I set up my everlasting rest, and shake the yoke of unauspicious stars from this world-wearied flesh. I look your last. Arms, take your last embrace. And lips, show you the doors of breath. Seal with a righteous kiss a dateless bargain to engrossing death. Come, bitter conduct. Come, unsavory guide. Thou desperate pilot, now at once run on the dashing rocks thy seasick, weary bark. There's to my love. Oh. Oh. True apothecary. I drug that quick. Thus, the kiss, I die.
In France, we must see. Alack, what blood is this? What mean these masterless and gory swords to lie discolored by this place of peace? Romeo! Oh, pale. Who else? What? Paris, too, and steeped in blood. Oh, what an unkind hour is guilty of this lamentable chance. The lady stirred.
Oh, comfortable sire. Where is my lord? I do remember well where I should be. Here I am. Where is my Romeo?
I hear some noise. Lady, come from that nest of death, contagion, and unnatural sleep. Come, come away. Thy husband in my bosom there lies dead. And Paris, too. Come, go, good Juliet. I dare no longer stay.
Oh, get thee hence, for I will not away. What's here? A cup closed in my true love's hand. Poison, I see, hath been his timeless end. Oh, chill, drunk all and left no friendly drop to help me after. I will kiss thy lips. Haply some poison yet doth hang on them. Thy lips are warm. Then I'll be brief. Oh, happy dagger! This is thy sheath. Oh, there, in my breast, rust. And let me die.
American School of the Air has just presented an adaptation of William Shakespeare's immortal story, Romeo and Juliet. The next adaptation of Shakespeare will be The Taming of the Shrew. Tomorrow, the American School of the Air presents their geography broadcast on Denmark. Further information about programs will be found in the Teacher's Manual and Classroom Guide, copies of which may be procured free of charge by writing to the American School of the Air, 485 Madison Avenue, New York City, New York. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.